We're going to continue our discussion of miles. Now, I presented to you 9 miles, 3 more today and 6 previous to this presentation. And honestly, there are even more models than this. I wanted to pick the top models that are out there right now so you basically could think about these church planting models. Another model that's very common out there is the denominational model. This is the association kind of model. It occurs when many churches unite in a covenant to start churches, uniting resources, sharing experience in order to do studies, select areas, and set goals for church planting. This was the model that I started in my first church in 1987. You know, I left Calvin Seminary, and our denomination had a home missions department, and we had a home missions committee at local denominational, and they called them classes levels, and we had meetings, and the association of all of these churches in this area supported, the national denominational place supported, and it was something where you could get these resources, but there was a lot of effort and time and studies and things that you had to do and people that you had to talk to. And there are definite advantages of the denominational model. There is a great deal of available financial resources. The financial burdens are shared. It has an effective administration, and there's plenty of controls in that administration. There's a wide network of people and ideas available. In the case when we did it too, I noticed that there was the sense where the church planter was given a salary right up front. We benefited from that as well as young pastors. And it was something that we could just take the next step in church planting right out of seminary. Some disadvantages: it can leave little room for initiative and participation on a local level. The church planter can feel limited to work within the program established by the denomination. It can create parochialism if leaders lose sight of the needs of other regions. You know, and this is very true in my experience as well. Many times we had denominational initiatives, and I would spend a good portion of my time at this denominational meeting or that denominational meeting. So in a sense, I was working for the denomination as part of my work. And then I was working as a church planter as another part of my work. There were several meetings. There were all forms of denominational involvement. Now, the good part about all that, as I look back, those were some of the types of things that helped me later in founding Christian Leaders Institute, expectations of other organizations. So, you know, as I look back at it, these are just pros and cons that you need to know about. There's the cellular model. This is a way of organizing a church using small groups and meetings and homes as a central axis of the church's work. It anticipates the multiplications of cells and therefore of leaders. It's the cellular model, the house church model, if you will. There are certain advantages. It promotes the development of leaders. You need leaders. It's not so much functioning around the one central worship service. It's functioning around lots of cell groups. It creates friendly environments for non-believers. It also provides opportunities for more direct interaction. So there are many advantages. The disadvantages: if the leadership isn't dynamic, you have to be very much intentional about it. It tends to kill the church, or the church becomes stagnant. Also, it requires a large enough number of leaders to develop this model who are sold out into the house church or cell group movement. It can create resistance to multiplication because of the comfort factor. People bond with each other in their group and don't want to form new ones. In a sense, what happens is you get cliques, and these little cliques love each other, and they don't want anyone else to be part of it. I've also seen examples of this where it's a single cell church, like one small group, and it's maybe a house church. I've seen homeschoolers in the United States form churches like this, where you have a few families and they meet together, but they don't tend to form another cell group. They just get larger and larger in this one cell group, but it still operates like a cell group. So there are advantages and disadvantages of the cellular model. Here's the connections model. We talk about this at Christian Leaders Institute quite a bit. And this model can work with all the models. It's kind of an operating system, but it can, in fact, be a church planting model. The seed of the church plant is the walk of the church planter. We've heard about stuff like that here at Christian Leaders Institute with spouse and family. The church planter invites others to join in the reproducible walking with God in a mutually supporting environment. The church planter creates groups of those supporting his walk, their walks with God. Soon, a worship gathering that supports the walking with God is created, which builds a church. There are certain advantages of the connection model. For those who participate in, their spiritual walk is dramatically strengthened because that's sort of a core value. This is very appropriate for bivocational church planters. The church planter family is very active in the church plant by default because what you're doing is you're memorizing scripture at home, you're reading scripture, you're reproducing your family walk, your personal walk to other people. So that personal walk matters a lot. The church plant starting in the home fuels the entire church plant. So you have stronger homes. The walls faced with a similar number of participants prepare the church planter for leading larger numbers of reproducible leaders. Whenever you try to get someone to practice home discipleship, there are going to be walls, there's going to be attack, because walking with God is something the evil one does not want. So when you share those patterns, it creates great opportunities for leadership walls in overcoming them, which then strengthens the church planter. And this approach can be easily integrated in most other approaches. This is an approach that you can use sort of as a hybrid. You can use one of these other approaches and still have sort of a connection operating system. There are disadvantages. Some would say that this is not very programmatic. Some would also say this approach, though simple, is not necessarily easy to maintain. And I've seen that too in church plants who did this style. They'll start very enthusiastically, and then as they get more people, it will sort of just fade away to some extent. This approach does not work well if the church planter's spouse or family are not on board in the participating in that walk with God situation. And also, sometimes this approach avoids the practice of evangelism because of the intense focus of developing strong habits. So even in this connection model, you know, it's not the model that everybody is going to actually do in church planting, but it can be a powerful operating system for you as a church planter. I also had the opportunity to plant a church in this model, and it was a big blessing. But some of these disadvantages have to be looked at. Let's reflect a little bit on some of the stuff we've been talking about. Which of the church planting models are you most familiar with? Maybe write that down on a piece of paper. Which of the church planting models are you using the church you are church planting model that you are using the church you are presently planting? Let me read that again. Which of the church planting models are you using the church you are presently planting or will use? And maybe you're already a church planter and you're taking this class now. Which one are you already in is really the question here. How can you maximize the advantages of that model? How can you compensate for the disadvantages of that model? In a lot of ways, this reflection is about being self-aware of your current situation or the calling that's in your heart to plant a church. Here's three very important ingredients that really need to transcend all of the models, whatever model you pick. And if your model doesn't have the strength in some of these areas, there are ways to bring that strength even in the independent pioneer model. You still can intentionally see some of the disadvantages and provide important ingredients to some of your disadvantages. One is accountability. It has been proven in many places that the church planter will have more success when he knows that he has to report to others in a simple, brief way. This report should be turned into his work team, his supervisor, or if he doesn't have one, he's very independent, his mentor, or some advisor who supports the church plant, the church planter in his work. Second is a mentor. A church planter will become more successful if he's accompanied by a person who can give him emotional and spiritual support, who is concerned about him and his work. The frequency of visits may vary, but there should not be, but they should not be any less than once a month. Mentors are very important. External or structural support. Studies show that those who have recognition, nurture in the interest of a larger structure or external support have a great advantage over those who are alone, who work alone. Anyone who works alone, if you are alone, there are so many areas that you put yourself at disadvantage. This does not refer to economic support, although at times that also is included. You know, as I think about these models and I think about you, I think about how as you pray through in your spouse, if you're married, prays through you being called as a church planter. What I'm hoping is at the end of this third presentation now, from some of the notes you've taken, you can start getting that first picture of what type of model fits you. And maybe the model that was presented here is still not you, and you need to do some more research on the internet or other places to look for that model of church plant that can sort of give you a mental structure of how you're going to plant this church.